Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
9:07 now, Tommy Tucker's coverage continues, and the big story really, I think, for Jefferson Parish and Orleans Parish as it stands now is about the water conservation as it relates to overwhelming the sewage system and lift stations. Jefferson Parish sending out a text, limit non-essential water use, dishes and laundry to prevent sewer backups, and an overview of what the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board is saying is conserve water as much as operationally possible, cut out any non-essential water use. If you can, postpone intensive cleaning, minimize restroom water use, and do whatever you can to reduce the use of water until they get on top of this. And you certainly don't want to do anything like pressure washing or anything like that. That can all wait. J.P. Morrell joins us now, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, J.P.?
Just like you, doing the after action, well, beginning of the after action report, kind of sorting through all the mess.
Yeah, let me talk about, speaking of literal mess, when it comes to these lift stations, I don't know that people get how important this is, and you don't want this to go the wrong way, literally. So how do you walk the line between getting the city going again, businesses open up, returning to commerce, but yet not overwhelming this system? What would you tell business owners?
Well, right now, I would say, obviously, today is a recovery day. No one should be opening and blowing and going as we kind of do our assessment across the city as the current state of infrastructure. I do think, and this is a conversation, a heated one we're beginning to have at Sewage and Water Board, which is you need to bring more transparency about exactly what is going on and exactly what people need to do. We've gotten some reports regarding Station D in particular and some sewer backup and some lift issues, and we have to be very, very transparent with people about timelines as to when they're going to receive additional information to make plans. If we are having a complete collapse, which I'm not saying we are, but if we are at a substation, that's going to affect the ability for people to use water in a reasonable way, particularly businesses. We need to give them at least the beginning of a timeline as to when they'll be allowed to go in and do what they need to do. Because obviously, as people are trying to clean out their houses, businesses are trying to get reopened to get people back to work. And if it's going to be a multi-day issue, we need to know that so they can know that so they can plan accordingly. So right now we're trying to get clear information to people, get clear timelines, because that's what everyone needs to do to make adult decisions.
Did you say, and District B is Leslie Harris, right? Did you say that you're hearing
it's Substation D.
I'm sorry. Substation B. That's your district, JP?
Well, my district's the whole city. So
no, that's right.
Station D is the station that is having the issue. It's not a councilmatic district.
It's been a long couple of days. You know that. So let's talk about the backups. So are you sewage backing up in the houses right now? Is that what you're saying?
That's not what I've heard as of yet. I think that right now we're not having widespread sewage backup, but I think what both Jefferson and Orleans are trying to do is avoid that as a possibility by taking stress off the system as they try to process and get it back online. So, I mean, really right now, Tom, what we're looking for, and I think everyone's trying to push for, is just, at least from Orleans Parish, I can't speak for Jefferson because that is way outside my jurisdiction, but for us, we're just trying to get clear information from Sewage and Water Board about what exactly is down, what exactly are the timelines. And we're not looking for specific, you know, tomorrow at 9 a.m., but at least reasonable timelines for people to know when they can expect to be able to use the resources they have available to get their businesses and homes back in order. So that's the focus today, is making sure people are safe, making sure things are being done in an appropriate manner, and really getting good information out that people can rely upon.
So somebody texted in and said, I have a hairdressing operation. Should I open up or not? What would you tell them? Because I got a shampoo hair and all that kind of stuff.
I would tell them that right now I wouldn't. And part of the problem we have as a city is we need to be able to tell them clearly and concisely what they should be doing and when they should be doing it. And it's hard right now because obviously I'm not the Sewage and Water Board, and I am not getting the information that I need from Sewage and Water Board to give someone like a completely educated, informed opinion. I'm basing this upon pockets of information that I have coming in, but this is the kind of information Sewage and Water Board needs to have out there to people, such as I am a business that pays people. These people need to go pay their bills and go back to work. If you're telling me that me operating my business can compromise the system, then say that. Don't kind of give these general kind of points of, you know, try to be resilient. Don't flush your toilet too many times, because the average person will do that. But if we have heavy industries or people who in commercial processes who need to know, can I use water the way I need to use it to operate my business? They need definitive answers, and we haven't gotten those, and we're working on getting those today. But that's the challenge right now, Tommy, is getting definitive answers and definitive guidance from our Sewage and Water Board partners.
And it seems to me that's where the disconnect is, where, you know, I'm trying to phrase my words carefully here. I don't know that the communication is there. I don't know that the message, maybe they know, but they don't want to say. I don't know if different departments of the city are at odds here or what, but somebody needs to get a clear, concise message out as to what needs to be done and what can be done and what can't be done and what the consequences of either are. Accurate?
That is 100% accurate. The reality is that whenever departments or agencies withhold information to try and mitigate how bad it could be, Tommy, I cannot think of a single instance in the history of New Orleans where doing that ended well.
No.
People in the city are adults. If something is wrong with the system and we have to act accordingly, we will do it. But minimizing, it goes back to the blip before the trip when the Mylar balloon knocked out the water. Mm-hmm. If Sewage and Water Board had said somebody was injured, but the system works and everything is proceeding the way it needs to proceed, that would have been a very different story, Tommy, than us waiting for 24 hours to find out that Mylar balloons couldn't compromise the water system. Mm-hmm. Information, correct information, disseminated in a reasonable way, in a reasonable amount of time, even if it makes you look bad, is the best way to deal with the public to build trust.
Yeah, this should be.
And trying to take the time to craft the narrative to not make it seem as bad, that never ends well. It always ends poorly.
Are you hearing anything in the mayor's office at all about any of this?
No, we have our briefing. The briefing they make available to the council shortly, and we'll have some information out of that. But just to be clear, we are not given briefings on a regular basis. So we are given briefings pretty much right before the press briefings that go out. Any information we get is based upon personal relationships or access we have to individuals and departments.
So are you saying they're deliberately withholding misinformation or just not being transparent?
I would say that this should have been a much more transparent process with regular updates scheduled. I remember under previous administrations, even with legislators, I don't know much information they have, but there would usually, during other hurricanes, be a call that they would have for elected officials every 2 or 3 hours so they could voluntarily call in and get information. I had not seen anything like that set up at this time. So I don't know if this... I have certainly been involved with administrations that have been much more transparent and robust with sharing information than this one.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune
I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hi, JP. Thank you. You know where we are. We'd love to hear from you if you get any more information. JP Morrell, New Orleans Council Member at Large. Matt Jewell joins us now, St. Charles Parish President. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, Tommy. Thanks for having me.
Are you guys having any lift station problems at all, as are Orleans and Jefferson Parish? I know Plaquemines was having an issue yesterday. I don't know if they still are or not.
Yeah, I think anytime you get this amount of rain, you have what's called INI. That's infiltration of rainwater into the sewer system, and that's going to cause your lift stations to become overwhelmed. We do have backup generators at a lot of our lift stations now, post Ida, at least the major lift stations, and that definitely helps us as we respond. But crews have to go to individual lift stations and kind of leapfrog, help get them down. And so that's why we always tell our residents to limit sewer usage post-storm or even during a storm, especially when we lose power.
Yeah, I've been saying, I don't know if you heard me say it or not, but I do think these lift stations in this time is just a perfect example of what being an elected official is all about, because so many things happen behind the scenes and you're dealing with a lot of you know what, and it can turn into a blank show before you know it, right? I mean, literally.
Yep.
So explain for people that don't understand what a lift station is, because I know you're a policy guy and you know these things, and what happens during a storm and why it always seems during a heavy rainfall when the system gets inundated and why it can be such a problem.
Yeah, most people's sewer goes into what we call a gravity line. It goes into comes from your home, gets into kind of a main gravity line, and it gravity flows to a lift station. That lift station lifts it back up and pushes it kind of down the line, and it keeps going to each lift station until it gets to, say, the treatment plant where it gets processed and taken care of. But you also have what's called force mains. A lot of times your lift stations will get your sewer to a force main. That force main pushes it in a pipe, much like your water is pushed in a pipe, you know, under force, and forces it to a lift station or to a treatment plant. Unfortunately, older parts of the parish have old terracotta pipes and other things like that. Some people might route their gutter downspouts into their sewer cleanouts, which is legal. And that forces rainwater into the sewer system. Once that gravity line and that lift station become overwhelmed, that's when you start seeing problems flushing your toilet or, water or sewer even backing up into your home.
So basically the water that should drain normally from the street or be pumped out is entering into the sewage removal system. Accurate, a sewage removal system?
And that's completely accurate, and it can be anything from pipes that have openings and joints that allow water to get in, or manholes that aren't sealed properly that allow water to get in. I mean, think about the situation that we had. We had 9+ inches of rain across the parish, so you had a lot of street flooding that allows water to get, sitting on the ground, getting and seeping into manholes and other areas like that. And once the sewer system becomes overwhelmed, it takes a long time to recover.
Yeah, and I don't want to get gross or anything, but just so people understand what's in play here, if that does get overwhelmed, this raw sewage backs up into the toilet, into the bathroom, maybe into the bathtub, et cetera, and then, I guess what, things have to be cleaned out and flushed out and all that?
Yeah, there's certainly a process. Our employees get a certification from the state to be able to handle sewage, and so they follow protocols on what to do with that. But that's why we usually tell people not to go play in the ditch or play in the street after a big storm, because while there is a lot of rainwater in there, there is also sewer in there as well, which is unsanitary. So
let me ask you about St. Charles Parish itself and businesses opening, and given the lift station situation and water usage, do you want businesses to reopen in St. Charles Parish now?
We always want businesses to reopen again. We're going to get a handle over the sewer system. It may take a little time for those levels to get down, but the areas of the parish that have power, there's absolutely no reason for our businesses to stay closed. I'll tell you that I felt like the power situation was a lot better during the storm. We were definitely expecting to pretty much have outages across the parish, and really we only saw some sporadic outages, and that's shown us that the improvements made by Entergy have worked.
What do you want people in St. Charles Parish to know for today?
The most important thing, we've had probably close to 280 homes that are 280 properties reported to us that have taken on water. We are doing damage assessment right now, so parish employees are coming around to make sure that you know, this drainage or the flooding, what level of flooding occurred. If you have an issue, they need to call 985-783-5050. That's our EOC.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Matt, as always. I know you're a policy guy, and you made that pretty clear for us. Matt Jewell, St. Charles Parish. Quick break. We come back. We'll talk to U.S. Congressman Troy Carter. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Hi, 927. Our coverage continues. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by U.S. Congressman Troy Carter, who I think is on the House floor getting ready to vote or not.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey,
yeah, I am actually,
Tommy,
out in the ante room about to vote shortly. So,
what are you hearing from the folks back home, and what can the federal government do? Or I was talking to Governor Landry earlier. He was talking about wanting to best use the money from the federal government that he got to harden infrastructure, those kind of things. How do you go about, proceeding from this point, Congressman?
Well, right now, as you know, the president immediately signed the governor's request for a declaration of emergency. That declaration has been signed. That frees up resources of the federal government, federal dollars to apply to those areas that are in need after Francine's travel. We're very fortunate that we have the FEMA administrator that is on the ground in Louisiana. We're boarding a helicopter shortly to begin touring some of the affected areas to begin the assessment process, the process of determining the areas that are hardest hit. We know that many of our river parishes in Lafourche and St. John, and Iberville, and Ascension, Jefferson Parish, and throughout the state were in fact hit. It could have been worse, but it's still bad. Fortunately, the federal dollars that we've apportioned since Katrina, it's proving to be money well spent. The levees held up, but yet we still have flooding, down trees, and some roughly 250,000 power outages that are out throughout the state of Louisiana. Fortunately, we have some 7,500 crewmen who are out as we speak, working to restore power in those affected areas. 7,500 from Entergy, CLECO, and surrounding energy companies who converge upon Louisiana in cases like this to make sure that we're apportioning every bit of resource to get people's lives back to normal as best we can after a natural disaster such as this.
We're talking to Representative Congressman Troy Carter, who's in the anteroom waiting to vote. Then he's headed back to Louisiana. He's on Capitol Hill right now. When it comes to, we're having a problem with lift stations now, as do a lot of local areas after a heavy rainstorm. When it comes to the intense rain that the area experienced, and that brings me to flood insurance, do you see any relief in sight on any of this? And when you look at an intense rainfall as we've had, and it seems as though these rain events are becoming more frequent, although this one was attached to a hurricane, and so far the season's been slow. Do you see any relief coming as far as that goes with the flood insurance program?
I can say without fear of contradiction that all eight members of our delegation, six members in the House and our two U.S. senators, are lockstep in fighting and pushing back against risk rating 2.0. A flood reform policy that I believe has caused more hurt than help. And that's not what the flood program was established to do. It's to provide resources for people in low-lying areas against natural disasters and instances of flooding. So we have been lockstep in pushing back, writing letters, working with FEMA and Homeland Security, and looking at legislative remedies to reverse the ills of Risk Rating 2.0. We know that Risk Rating 2.0 is threatening home ownership for people who own their own homes, threatening home ownership for people who would want to own their own home, not because they can't afford the home. In many cases, people already own their homes and just simply can't afford the drastic increases in flood insurance. So we have been working feverishly, and we will continue to, and we won't stop, quite frankly, until we find either an administrative fix or a legislative one to bring relief to the people of Louisiana.
Your district does include Summit Kenner, does it not?
It does.
East Bank of Jefferson Parish. I'm just wondering, what are you hearing from about flooded houses and so forth? How, number of houses, have you gotten an estimate?
Yeah, we've been in communication with all of our parish presidents and as many mayors as we've been able to reach. We've been in communication with every single parish president, with the governor's office of Homeland Security, with the mayor's office of Homeland Security, as well as the Coast Guard and the other paramilitary organizations that are on the ground assessing how many homes are actually taken on water and what resources are needed to get there. There are boots on the ground as we speak, Tommy. I don't have an exact number, but I can tell you that there are boots on the ground. FEMA administrators should be in the air momentarily. As I finish my final vote, I will be headed straight to the airport to join them in assessing damages and making sure that resources are being apportioned as humanly, as fast as humanly possible.
Real quick, big picture, Governor Landry talking about best spending the money that he gets from the federal government to improve conditions in the state, harden infrastructure, et cetera. How do you see that playing out, Congressman? In your opinion, what would be the best way to spend those federal dollars?
The best way to spend those dollars is to listen to the people that live in those communities, to work with CPRA, to work with the Corps of Engineers, to work with our individual levy districts, to work with people that are at the port, people that are in the community. This is one that we have to fly very, very low, very, very close to the local communities, and see where it hurts to make sure that we're applying resources according to need and getting them as quickly as possible. Always the best way to serve is to listen, and to make sure that we're using the science to look at where we've had issues in the past and apply resources to make sure we correct them. We should not continue to have to deal with the same problem every storm. Last storm taught us things, we should fix it. This storm teaches us things, we should fix it. And thank God we have the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, which has given us a plethora of dollars to be used for hardening our grid, for shoring up our levees, for securing flood systems. I was just in the river parishes just last week delivering $1 million to secure additional flooding securities for communities for situations just like this. We have to continue applying resources in those areas that we've seen historic flooded, historic issues. And the best way to do that is to listen to the people who are on the ground, our parish presidents, our mayors, our city council members, CPRA, and others who do this 24/7.
Yeah, I know it's not your district, but Grand Isle fared pretty well when it comes to power outages, and I'm just wondering if that was a weather anomaly or if that goes to hardening the system. I'm also looking at Southern Plaquemines did pretty well also. You think we can learn some lessons from that about building smarter, tougher?
Yeah, look, there's only six of us in Congress represent Louisiana, so we don't look at our district or not district. As far as I'm concerned, I represent the entire state. And I think what you see happening in Grand Isle is a direct result of money that's been applied and spent well. And so we have to continue demonstrating that when we put resources in place, we learn from the last storm and we build better for the next storm.
All right, 9:27, our coverage continues. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by U.S. Congressman Troy Carter, who I think is on the House floor getting ready to vote or not.
Hey, Tommy. Hey, yeah, Troy. I am actually, out in the anteroom about to vote shortly. So
What are you hearing from the folks back home, and what can the federal government do? Or I was talking to Governor Landry earlier. He was talking about wanting to best use the money from the federal government that he got to harden infrastructure, those kind of things. How do you go about, proceeding from this point, Congressman?
Well, right now, as you know, the president immediately signed the governor's request for a declaration of emergency. That declaration has been signed. That frees up resources of the federal government, federal dollars to apply to those areas that are in need after Francine's travel. We're very fortunate that we have the FEMA administrator that is on the ground in Louisiana. We're boarding a helicopter shortly to begin touring some of the affected areas to begin the assessment process, the process of determining the areas that are hardest hit. We know that many of our river parishes in Lafourche and St. John and Iberville and Ascension, Jefferson Parish, and throughout the state were in fact hit. It could have been worse, but it's still bad. Fortunately, the federal dollars that we've apportioned since Katrina, it's proving to be money well spent. The levees held up, but yet we still have flooding, down trees, and some roughly 250,000 power outages that are out throughout the state of Louisiana. Fortunately, we have some 7,500 crewmen who are out as we speak, working to restore power in those affected areas. 7,500 from Entergy Clico and surrounding energy companies who converge upon Louisiana in cases like this to make sure that we're apportioning every bit of resource to get people's lives back to normal as best we can after a natural disaster such as this.
We're talking to Representative Congressman Troy Carter, who's in the ante room waiting to vote. Then he's headed back to Louisiana. He's on Capitol Hill right now. When it comes to, we're having a problem with lift stations now, as do a lot of local areas after a heavy rainstorm. When it comes to the intense rain that the area experienced, and that brings me to flood insurance, do you see any relief in sight on any of this? And when you look at an intense rainfall as we've had, and it seems as though these rain events are becoming more frequent, although this one was attached to a hurricane, and so far the season's been slow. Do you see any relief coming as far as that goes with the flood insurance program?
I can say without fear of contradiction that all eight members of our delegation, six members in the House and our two U.S. senators, are lockstep in fighting and pushing back against risk rating 2.0. A flood reform policy that I believe has caused more hurt than help. And that's not what the flood program was established to do. It's to provide resources for people in low-lying areas against natural disasters and instances of flooding. So we have been lockstep in pushing back, writing letters, working with FEMA and Homeland Security, and looking at legislative remedies to reverse the ills of risk rating 2.0. We know that risk rating 2.0 is threatening home ownership for people who own their own homes, threatening home ownership for people who would want to own their own home, not because they can't afford the home. In many cases, people already own their homes and just simply can't afford the drastic increases in flood insurance. So we have been working feverishly, and we will continue to, and we won't stop, quite frankly, until we find either an administrative fix or a legislative one to bring relief to the people of Louisiana.
Your district does include Summit Kenner, does it not?
It does,
East Bank of Jefferson Parish. I'm just wondering, what are you hearing from about flooded houses and so forth? How, number of houses, have you gotten an estimate?
Yeah, we've been in communication with all of our parish presidents and as many mayors as we've been able to reach. But we've been in communication with every single parish president, with the governor's office of Homeland Security, with the mayor's office of Homeland Security, as well as the Coast Guard and the other paramilitary organizations that are on the ground assessing how many homes are actually taken on water and what resources are needed to get there. There are boots on the ground as we speak, Tommy. I don't have an exact number, But I can tell you that there are boots on the ground. Team administrators should be in the air momentarily. As I finish my final vote, I will be headed straight to the airport to join them in assessing damages and making sure that resources are being apportioned as humanly, as fast as humanly possible.
Real quick, big picture, Governor Landry talking about best spending the money that he gets from the federal government to improve conditions in the state, harden infrastructure, et cetera. How do you see that playing out, Congressman? In your opinion, what would be the best way to spend those federal dollars?
The best way to spend those dollars is to listen to the people that live in those communities, to work with CPRA, to work with the Corps of Engineers, to work with our individual levy districts, to work with people that are at the port, people that are in the community. This is one that we have to fly very, very low, very, very close to the local communities, and see where it hurts to make sure that we're applying resources according to need and getting them as quickly as possible. Always the best way to serve is to listen and to make sure that we're using the science to look at where we've had issues in the past and apply resources to make sure we correct them. We should not continue to have to deal with the same problem every storm. Last storm taught us things, we should fix it. This storm teaches us things, we should fix it. And thank God we have the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, which has given us a plethora of dollars to be used for hardening our grid, for shoring up our levees, for securing flood systems. I was just in the river parishes just last week delivering $1 million to secure additional flooding securities for communities for situations just like this. We have to continue applying resources in those areas that we've seen historic flooding, historic issues. And the best way to do that is to listen to the people who are on the ground, our parish presidents, our mayors, our city council members, CPRA, and others who do this 24/7.
Yeah, I know it's not your district, but Grand Isle fared pretty well when it comes to power outages, and I'm just wondering if that was a weather anomaly or if that goes to hardening the system. I'm also looking at Southern Plaquemines did pretty well also. You think we can learn some lessons from that about building smarter, tougher?
Yeah, look, there's only six of us in Congress representing Louisiana, so we don't look at our district or not district. As far as I'm concerned, I represent the entire state. And I think what you see happening in Grand Isle is a direct result of money that's been applied and spent well. And so we have to continue demonstrating that when we put resources in place, we learn from the last storm and we build better for the next storm. I was with the mayor, Carmadale, recently touring Grand Isle and looking at ways that we can continue by putting rock jetties and other resources in place. And it's making a difference. So that's what I mean when I say listen, pay attention to the science, listen to the Mayor Carmadales of the world, listen to the people who are on the ground saying this is where it hurts. Clint Coyman or Matt Jewell or Jacqueline Hotard or Cynthia Lee Shang, all of which are on the ground. They see where the pain is, and our job is to apportion federal dollars to fix it.
Storms don't know Democrat or Republican, do they, Congressman?
They don't know Democrat, Republican, and they don't know district lines. We have a responsibility to serve the entire state.
Thank you, Congressman. Travel safely. We'll talk to you probably when you get down here, all right?
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Representative Troy Carter will take a break, come back, talk to a representative of CLECO and get an update on power outages. Tommy Tucker, continuing coverage of Francine here on WWL. All right, here we are, 9:42, 18 till 10 on this Thursday morning after Francine, and Newell Norman joins us. Morning, Sheriff. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy Tucker.
Troy Carter must have known that you were in the building because he called me Sheriff before. It's quite something when your personality and your persona just exudes through the telephone lines and through the electronic communication.
You know, it's amazing, though. He's over there about to cast a vote and worrying about getting on a flight to get back and juggling a lot of balls, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah. Jennifer Cahill joins us now, Director of Corporate Communications for CLECO. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you? You're on with Newell Norman and Tommy Tucker on WWL.
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. I got a picture of a friend here. CLECO affecting 350-400 homes, Pruden Road in Covington, some downed trees. Tell me what the situation is on the North Shore. Please tell us what the situation is on the North Shore.
Sure. So right now on the North Shore, we have about 16,000 customers without power. And earlier this morning, I'd say about an hour ago, we had about 19,000. So we are making progress. All of our CLECO crews, our contractor crews, they've all been mobilized. We're surveying the damage and making repairs and obviously beginning that power restoration. So far, our damage assessments have uncovered multiple broken poles, some down wire, and some equipment damage. But, you know, CLECO is ready. We have 11 staging areas set up across the state for all of our materials and equipment. I mentioned that we assembled a team that includes all of our CLECO employees and nearly 2,000 additional line mechanics, tree trimmers, and damage assessors. So our crews are out there working and making the areas clear and safe and restoring power.
We were talking to Energy before, and they were talking about assessment first and then repairing. Do you guys go about it a similar way where you got to see where the problems are? And it may sound moronic to say it this way, but you do have to assess it, see where the problems are, develop a plan, and then attack it?
Right. So we follow a detailed plan when it comes to our restoration efforts. First, we have to address any unsafe situations like down power lines and make sure that power isn't flowing through those lines. And then next, we start clearing debris. We have our tree trimmers out. The crews are out there making the road safe, clearing the road so our trucks can go through. We start making repairs. And then we start restoring power to critical community services like hospitals, nursing homes, police departments. And then from there, our crews start to work to restore power to the greatest number of customers in the shortest time possible.
What do people need to know if they're sitting there without power? And look, it's never soon enough, right? And for those of us that have been without power, and if you live here, you've been there, done that. If you don't have a generator, what do you want them to know, Jennifer, in terms of, I guess, just patience and the fact that you all want the power on as quickly as it can possibly be restored?
Sure. I mean, we appreciate our customers' patience for sure. But I think one of the more important things is we want to remind our customers that one of the most dangerous parts of a storm is right after it passes. So as they're getting up this morning, they're starting to clear debris, clean up their yard. They really need to be mindful and stay clear of down power lines and avoid areas of debris that could be touching those power lines. We just can't say that enough. So assume all down power lines are live, stay away, and report any unsafe situations to 911 and to CLECO.
And what about the CLECO outage? One thing before I get to the CLECO outage map, do you guys have like smart meters where you know that the power's out and people don't really have to notify you of that?
Yes, we do. All of our CLECO customers have smart meters. So as soon as the power goes out in a customer's home, we are notified. And real time.
And it's being triaged, so they can, I guess, call you if they don't have access to the internet or electricity. But, and it just sounds callous to say it this way, but you're working as hard as you can, and it's just going to come on when it comes on, right?
Well, I mean, again, we have a plan that we followed for each storm. We have an emergency response plan with safety being the priority for our customers and for our employees. And our crews work around the clock to make the community safe and to restore power.
Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate your time. Jennifer Cahill with CLECO. Newell Norman is here. What did you see coming in? I'm just curious, as you came in from home.
You know, I'm just a few blocks from the interstate, so jumped on the interstate. It was totally clear. What I saw was a lot of tree limbs.
All right, here we are, 9:42, 18 till 10 on this Thursday morning after Francine, and Newell Norman joins us. Morning, Sheriff. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy Tucker.
Troy Carter must have known that you were in the building because he called me Sheriff before. Huh? It's quite something when your personality and your persona just exudes through the telephone lines and through the electronic communication.
You know what's amazing, though? He's over there about to cast a vote and worrying about getting on a flight to get back and juggling a lot of balls, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah. Jennifer Cahill joins us now, Director of Corporate Communications for CLECO. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you? You're on with Newell Norman and Tommy Tucker on WWL.
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. I got a picture of a friend here, Clico, affecting 350, 400 homes, Pruden Road in Covington, some downed trees. Tell me what the situation is on the North Shore. Please tell us what the situation is on the North Shore.
Sure. So right now on the North Shore, we have about 16,000 customers without power. And earlier this morning, I'd say about an hour ago, we had about 19,000. So we are making progress. All of our Clico crews, our contractor crews, they've all been mobilized. We're surveying the damage and making repairs and obviously beginning that power restoration. So far, our damage assessments have uncovered multiple broken poles, some down wire, and some equipment damage. But, you know, Clico is ready. We have 11 staging areas set up across the state for all of our materials and equipment. I mentioned that we assembled a team that includes all of our Clico employees and nearly 2,000 additional line mechanics, tree trimmers, and damage assessors. So our crews are out there working and making the areas clear and safe and restoring power.
We were talking to Energy before, and they were talking about assessment first and then repairing. Do you guys go about it a similar way where you got to see where the problems are? And it may sound moronic to say it this way, but you do have to assess it, see where the problems are, develop a plan, and then attack it?
Right. So we follow a detailed plan when it comes to our restoration efforts. First, we have to address any unsafe situations like down power lines and make sure that power isn't flowing through those lines. And then next, we start clearing debris. We have our tree trimmers out. The crews are out there making the road safe, clearing the road so our trucks can go through. We start making repairs. And then we start restoring power to critical community services like hospitals, nursing homes, police departments. And then from there, our crews start to work to restore power to the greatest number of customers in the shortest time possible.
What do people need to know if they're sitting there without power? And look, it's never soon enough, right? And for those of us that have been without power, and if you live here, you've been there, done that. If you don't have a generator, what do you want them to know, Jennifer, in terms of, I guess, just patience and the fact that you all want the power on as quickly as it can possibly be restored?
Sure. I mean, we appreciate our customers' patience for sure. But I think one of the more important things is we want to remind our customers that one of the most dangerous parts of a storm is right after it passes. So as they're getting up this morning, they're starting to clear debris, clean up their yard. They really need to be mindful and stay clear of down power lines and avoid areas of debris that could be touching those power lines. We just can't say that enough. So assume all down power lines are live, stay away, and report any unsafe situations to 911 and to Clico.
And what about the Clico outage? One thing before I get to the Clico outage map, do you guys have like smart meters where you know that the power's out and people don't really have to notify you of that?
Yes, we do. All of our Clico customers have smart meters. So as soon as the power goes out in a customer's home, we are notified. And real time.
And it's being triaged, so they can, I guess, call you if they don't have access to the internet or electricity. But, and this sounds callous to say it this way, but you're working as hard as you can, and it's just going to come on when it comes on, right?
Well, I mean, again, we have a plan that we followed, that we follow for each storm. We have an emergency response plan with safety being the priority for our customers and for our employees. And our crews work around the clock to make the community safe and to restore power.
Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate your time. Jennifer Cahill with Clico. Newell Norman is here. What did you see coming in? I'm just curious, as you came in from home.
You know, I'm just a few blocks from the interstate, so jumped on the interstate. It was totally clear. What I saw was a lot of tree limbs.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.